Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema first quarter 2017 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. I'm here with Margherita Mattelli and Carlo Di Pierro. I'm referring to the slide that has been posted, in particular slide number two. Before starting to describe the first quarter result, just to let you know that yesterday, the General Assembly of Banca Sistema has approved the full year result for 2016 and the distribution of 0.076 euro as dividend per share. Going to what today the board approved as the first quarter result, we had reached a net interest income on the first quarter of 4.4 million, including the yearly contribution to the National Resolution Fund of 0.6 million. The net interest income is 12.4 million, which has been influenced by a lower factoring turnover on the last quarter, as we already announced during the last conference call, compared to what was the fourth quarter of 2015 that had the turnover much higher than last year. The total operating costs are in line with our expectation, with a slight increase at 4%. The loan loss provision has been impacted positively by a write-back and some provision on the SME portfolio that is on runoff, as we all know. On the first quarter 2017, the return on average equity is 15%, even though we continue to maintain our target for year-end of a return above 20% by year-end. On the first quarter, our forecast of return on average equity was pretty much in line with the outcome. On the first quarter 2017, the factoring turnover was particularly high, with 21% of growth on a year-on-year basis. This is also thanks to new customer that has been add on to the list of Banca Sistema client. The increase in contribution on the factoring turnover from agreement with bank is significant on the first quarter and has reached 28% of the total turnover. The CQS/CQP outstanding has reached 330 million, with a growth that is more than 100% on a year-on-year basis. We reached the end of the ramp-up period of the Quinto Sistema securitization, with an amount of 232 million, and we expect the sale of the securitization, which is going to generate on the second quarter additional profit within the next couple of months. The core business funding costs remain stable, and we continue on this cost not to include the potential benefit coming from the minus 40 basis points from the participation of the TLTRO. The retail funding represents 48% of the total fund. The liquidity coverage ratio and the net stable funding ratio are well above the regulatory capital. The Core Tier 1 and the total capital ratio respectively are at 12.6% and 16.6%, which has been also positively impacted by the issuance of the Tier 2 of 14 million that happened last month. The net interest income in 2017, when I look at the full year, will be influenced by two main components that are not linear across the year. The first, as I already mentioned, is the gain on the sale of securitization, which is going to happen on the second quarter of this year. The second one is the late payment interest that will contribute more than last year as a consequence of a higher outstanding on legal collection. Let me remind you that this is not a change of our strategy. We continue to purchase the receivable on a discount basis. We continue to collect those receivable for most of them, 90% of them, without need of moving to legal action. When we take legal action, we start to take the accrual on the healthcare asset for 65% on the LPI and 15% on non-healthcare. Even if on the latter, we have registered a higher actual percentage of recovery. Moving to the slide number three, our growth rate on factoring outstanding is 6% on a year-on-year basis. This is a consequence of a particular good quarter in term of turnover, with a growth on a year-on-year basis of +21%, in particular in the month of March. The market environment has not changed. Delay of payment, also from our expected collection average period of purchases of the first quarter 2016. The healthcare obligor represent 14% of our outstanding at the end of the first quarter. We have reached a good level of diversification in business from the CQS, CQP. As I mentioned, we settled the sale of the securitization in the next few months. The 330 million of outstanding is the amount of loan which has been purchased, out of which 56 million has been purchased on the first quarter 2017 from five different originator. Further growth will come also from agreement, which has been already signed with the two new originator. The growth on the CQS will also be supported on the same way, which has been since we started in 2016, meaning that we are going to use a securitization program. We have recently launched, and we issued a press release yesterday, our second securitization program, foreseen a warehousing period up to one year. Also, this securitization will be rated and eligible to the ECB, and will be considered the sale when will be reached the right size based on our regulatory capital evolution. I leave now the floor to Margherita for more and in-depth analysis on the results.
Thank you, Gianluca. Good afternoon to everyone. As mentioned by Gianluca, we are closing the first quarter with a net income of 4.4 million euro, and this is including the yearly ordinary contribution to the National Resolution Fund for 0.6 million. Looking more in detail into the income statement, the factoring business continued to be the main contributor to our net interest income, representing at the end of Q1 2017, 79% of total net interest income, against 85% at the end of March 2016. Net interest income includes 3.1 million of factoring LPIs on the legally action portion of our portfolio. Of that, 1.1 million has been collected in Q1. Net interest income is decreasing, as you can see, quarter-on-quarter, Q1 2017 against Q1 2016. This is influenced by the lower factoring turnover that we have booked in the last quarter of 2016 against the first quarter 2015, which is also done at lower margins compared to the prior year. We also have to mention that in the first quarter 2016, we had an earlier collection of a single position of factoring receivable, which is also making the first quarter 2016 net interest margin greater than the 2017 one. The carry trade on the government bond portfolio is lower year on year, and this is these two negative components are not compensated by the higher contribution, which is actually coming from the CQS portfolio, which represents at the end of March 2017 15% of the total net interest income. The lower contribution from our short-term Italian government bond portfolio is also influencing the bottom line, and that is down 64% compared to last year. Loan loss provisions are positive for 0.5 million, and this is resulting from write-backs that we are posting on the factoring portfolio, as well as from higher generic provisions on the SME portfolio in runoff. Personal expense reflects the growth in headcount, also following the beta incorporation, and are also reflecting slightly higher average salaries by headcount, as well as the impact of the non-competition agreements executed with employees with a group of employees in Q1 2017. The other operating expenses are in line with our expectations for this year. Moving on to slide number 5, and looking at the balance sheet, total assets stand at 2.2 billion. At the end of Q1 2017, which is up from 2 billion as at the end of last year, and this is mainly deriving from the growth in the government bond portfolio and to a lower extent from customer loans. The government bond portfolio is now in total 649 million, which is up year on year, following the purchase of 84 million of Italian BTPs with an average duration below 3 years, which have been classified in the held to maturity portfolio. We are also reporting a slightly higher available for sale portfolio, up to 565 million, with an average residual maturity of 7 months. The strategy approved by the Board of Directors to build a portfolio classified as held to maturity is mainly driven by the possibility of matching the government bond portfolio with the ECB TLTRO funding, which equals 123 million. And this is done with the idea of having plans to sell the CQS securitization, which is currently used as a collateral for the ECB funding. Loans to customers, factoring receivable are slightly up quarter on quarter thanks to the turnover which was originated in Q1 2017. CQS position is up due to the portfolios acquired in Q1 2017. This is up to 303 million from 266 at the end of last year. SMEs positions remain pretty stable quarter on quarter. As you know, the portfolio is currently in runoff. Looking at the liabilities, due to banks is stable quarter on quarter, deriving from a combination of higher ECB funding and lower interbanking. Due to customers is higher quarter on quarter for the increase on the repo funding needed to fund the government bond position, which has increased, and to a minor extent for the increase in term deposits from retail. In 2017, also worth mentioning, debt security issues include the 40 million Tier 2 subordinated bond, which was issued in Q1 2017, as we have been announcing. Moving on to slide number 6. On the top right of the slide, we show the evolution of the outstanding, of the factoring outstanding, which is influenced by the quarterly turnover. And we are showing the evolution of the portfolio, which is currently under legal collection. As you can see, the total portfolio legal collection out of the total outstanding of 1.1 billion at the end of Q1 2017 is 307 million, which is up compared to the 224 that we have reported at the end of 2016. And this is also due to the inclusion of the portfolio from Beta Stepstone. Target yields at expected collection date, which are showed on the bottom right of the slide, as always do not show a very specific trend. Target yields of the first quarter on average are running at 5.1%, up from an average of 4.6%, which is what we have seen in the last quarter of 2016. On the lower left of the slide, we show the trend of the factoring average gross yield, which is in line with our expectation of lower contribution deriving from LPIs in the first quarter of 2017, in general in the first half of 2017 as compared to the second half of the year. Comparing year-on-year average gross yield, we see the saving on the collections and introducing fees is partially compensating the reduction in the gross average yield in front of a pretty stable cost of funding running at 1.4%. Slide number 7. Personal expense. We are looking to the cost and the expense line now. Personal expense represent 47% of our total operating cost. This is increased from 3.6 million in 2016 to 4.3 million in Q1 2017. This, as previously mentioned, derives from higher headcount, which is mainly deriving from the acquisition of Beta Stepstone, and higher average salaries, as well as previously mentioned, the cost related to the new non-compete agreement signed in Q1. Servicing costs, which are mainly to factoring, are going down and benefit from the internalization of the collection services. Other costs include 0.6 million of ordinary contribution to the National Resolution Fund. Moving on to slide number 8, and looking at the funding, retail funding represent 48% of total funds. It was 51% at the end of 2016. Retail funding covers 62% of total core business assets, pretty much in line with the last quarter of 2016 and down from the 71% that we have been reporting in 2015. The increase of retail funds in the first quarter 2017 is driven by term deposits and current account. As you might remember, in October 2016, we increased our offer rates on term deposits in order to maintain stable the stock and continue to manage the balance between retail and wholesale funds and being able to keep the cost of funding under control. Term deposits from Germany and Austria represent almost 30% of the total. Average residual duration of our term deposits has increased up to 20 months on average, and the cost of term deposits is pretty stable and is running at 210 basis points. As we are showing on the top right of the slide, thanks to the funding diversification, the core business funding cost is also remaining stable quarter on quarter and is running at 1.2% on average. In Q4 2016, the ABS notes of the CQS securitizations were rated by Moody's and DBRS and were listed on the London Stock Exchange. Consequently, since November, they were admitted as eligible collateral for the Eurosystem refinancing operations. Next quarter, as mentioned by Gianluca previously, we have scheduled to sell the full capital structure of the securitization, net of the retention portion required by the CRR of the securitization Quinto Sistema 2016. And this is going to be done in order to reach the derecognition of the relevant portfolio and manage our capital as expected. At the same time, the CQS business growth will continue to be supported by the new CQS, securitization, the 2017 CQS called Quinto Sistema SEC 2017. Quinto Sistema SEC 2017, a newly incorporated SPV in accordance with the 130 law, on April 2017 issued four classes of partially paid asset-backed securities having an initial principal amount of approximately 46 million, which, as mentioned, will be followed by a ramp-up period of approximately 1 year. On slide number nine, looking at asset quality, net bank loans represent 2.2% of total loans at the end of Q1 2017. Bad loans increase quarter on quarter. This is due to some deterioration of the factoring portfolio, mainly new municipalities under distress procedure, as well as the SME state guaranteed loans portfolio, which continue to deteriorate. Factoring bad loans represent 51% of the total at the end of Q1 against 47% at the end of last year. Unlikely to pay decrease quarter on quarter, and this is mainly coming from the deterioration of the SME portfolios, which are moving to bad loans. Past due is mainly attributed to factoring receivables without recourse from the public administration. This is considered ordinary for the sector and does not represent an issue in terms of credit quality and probability of collection. As anticipated at year-end, in the first quarter, we have completed the review of our factoring bad loans recovery expectations, basically on municipalities in a distressed situation. As a result of higher expectations of recoverability, we have recorded in Q1 a net release of 2.3 million, which is partially compensated by higher generic provision on SMEs loans, which reflect updated PDs. Slide number 10, regulatory capital, common equity tier 1 and total capital ratio at the end of the quarter are respectively 12.6% and 16.6%. RWA are up quarter on quarter, mainly deriving from the growth of the CQS business due to past dues on the factoring side and as well as from the turnover growth. The capital has been also influenced by the Tier 2 subordinated bond, which was issued in Q1 2017. I think this is pretty much it on my side. I'll leave back to Gianluca for his final considerations.
Thank you, Margherita. I think that now we are available to take questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Carrese, your line is open.
Sorry, okay, I was in mute mode. Good afternoon, everybody. I have a few questions on the top line, in particular on net interest income that was rather weak in the first quarter. I was surprised from a decrease of over 20% year-on-year. So I would like to understand in the first quarter if you can break down the net interest income in net interest income from amortized cost, from late payment interest cash-in, and from accrual for LPI, late payment interest. Secondly, if you can give us a guidance on LPI for full year 2017, again, cash-in and accrual, and if you are still assuming around 20% accrual on LPI, or if you think that you are going to change the method to calculate late payment interest in the coming quarters. Again, on late payment interest, if you can give us the outstanding as of first quarter 2017. And final two questions, one on the securitization. What do you expect will be the impact on net interest income and on trading? Again, there should be a decrease in net interest income due to the disposal of the securitization. And finally, on the SMEs guaranteed loans, you increased the provision again this quarter. If you can tell us what kind of coverage you got on the outstanding portfolio that is in runoff. Thank you.
Okay, so
So
I may
maybe I
leave to
can
Margherita
start
to start.
to put together some numbers. So net interest income, the first question had to do with net interest income and breakdown on the factoring side between LPIs and ordinary net interest income. I would say that LPIs represent 3.1 million. This is out of that 3.1 million. We had 1.1 million which has been collected and 2 million of accrual. While on the other ordinary interest, we have 8 million excluding tax receivables, 8 million of gross interest income for the first quarter. So this is the breakdown. We also had some late payment interest which were collected from non-legal action. So that is 1 million that we have collected in Q1. In terms of so the component of LPIs which has been cashed in, as I mentioned already, is 1.1 million in the first quarter. In terms of outlook for the rest of the year, I think that our expectation is to reach a level of 20-25 million of LPIs on the legally actioned portfolio by the end of the year. Of course, the timing of that is uncertain. Most of it is expected in the second half of the year.
So we have to compare the 20-25 million euro full year with the 3.1 million euro booked in the first quarter.
That's
Correct.
correct. That's
Correct.
correct.
The first quarter LPIs being accrued are in line, while the one being collected are well below the pro rata expectation. And the problem on the LPI is that this depends when the legal cases are going to be closed. But the expectation for us still remain 20-25 million. While the outstanding LPIs at the end of the first quarter are 110 million. So the ones that are not accrued in balance sheet, so the amount related to invoice that has been closed and not been accrued remain 110 million, while at the end of the last year was under 4 million. From the securitization, we expect in the area of 4 to 5 million euro, which is going to be booked on the second quarter of the year. For the SME guarantee loan, it's not different from the expectation. It's still the level that we expect. On one end, we had accrued additional interest on that. On the other hand, we have to take the write-off in line with the 30% on the total portfolio. So this is a trend that will be proportionate and will continue over time on this portfolio.
Sorry, again, on the payment test, the accrual method, is it correct that you accrued at 20% as of today? And
yes. Sorry.
Are you planning to change the accrual method or not?
Okay, today we have accrued on the healthcare receivable that are in legal action 65%. On the all the other receivable that are not healthcare, as you know, our healthcare business, as I mentioned before, is 14%. So the vast majority of our assets are non-healthcare. We have accrued 15%, so 1.5. So if you like to put on the context of how much has been moved to legal action, is still the amount of 10% of receivable goes to legal action. So to reproportionate the amount on the amount that we have acquired of in term of asset, so the 65% is 6.5% on the total asset purchased, and the 15% is 1.5% of asset being purchased. For the time being, we did not change our accrual methodology. We continue to review the statistical information on the collection side. The while on the healthcare, we are in line with what is the statistical outcome. On the non-healthcare, the amount that is actually collected when is the legal action are taken are above the 15%. And we need to consider whether in the future we need to adjust the accrual of these 15% to a different numbers.
But the 20-25 million euro, that is the guidance for full year, is calculated based on 65% and 15%.
Correct.
Yes, that's correct.
Correct. These are the 20-25 are related to stuff that has been already actioned in the past.
And a big part of it is also expected to be collected rather than accrual.
Okay.
So the 20-25 million is both cashed in LPIs and accrued LPIs. Out of that, the big component of that is actually expected to be collected LPIs.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Andrew Mitchell with Edison. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Could I ask one detailed point? In the slides, I think you talk about a 1 million euro cost of the securitization. I wasn't quite sure if that fell into the period you're just reporting or whether it will come into the second quarter. And then more generally, in your comments on the factoring market, you say that conditions have not changed. I wonder if you could just talk a bit more about that, and because obviously in the fourth quarter, I guess observers were slightly unsettled by the the apparent competitive position and lumpiness that was evident there. And I was just wondering whether we can now look back on that and see it as simply being an unusual situation.
Yeah. On the first question about the cost of the securitization.
That is the cost related to the entire transaction. It's not been booked entirely in Q1. That this is the expected cost for the entire securitization program.
Right. Thank you. That doesn't particularly depress the.
No.
First quarter profit, no?
That's not booked in Q1,
no. No. Eventually, the one-off amount that depress the first quarter are the non-compete agreement being signed with the employee, because under the IFRS, you need to take upfront any potential amount that you have to pay for good leaver in case they leave the bank. This amount had to be recognized on the when the agreement is signed and represent €500,000 as a one-off, and this is within the personal cost.
As well as the contribution to the National Resolution Fund, which is €0.6, and that is the yearly contribution, which has been booked entirely in the first quarter.
Okay. Now, in terms of factoring, when we refer to the fact that the condition didn't change, we mean that the delay on the public administration, in particular relating to the asset we buy from public administration, didn't change significantly. What make the lumping on the amount that we are able to buy is the willingness by company to sell portfolio at year-end in order to improve their net financial position. At the end of last year, we had a situation that various large corporate simply decide not to sell receivable because they didn't need to improve their net financial position. Basically, they didn't sell to us, neither to other. Simply they decide, in particular some large multinational, they decide not to sell, despite the fact that they will collect their receivable with delay. This is what typically happen at year-end and partially happen on the semi-annual result. You will have this peak of activity that are driven by balance sheet management rather than by financial needs. Okay? That is what has changed. All the activity that indeed has been carried out on the first quarter is not balance sheet driven. The growth of 21% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, when we compare to the first quarter of last year, is driven by corporate that they are selling receivable, not because they need a balance sheet maquillage, but simply because they really want to sell the receivable. This is also a more long-term commitment, because most of these receivable are revolving, while year-end receivable are typically more one-off type of transaction. The other point, which I think that is relevant and in certain extent is self-explanatory of what is the situation of the Italian government, is the fact that the government is introducing or is expanding what is called split payment, which for us will represent a potential very high source of additional revenue, because any supplier going forward to any public administration, to any company controlled by the government, will incur in VAT credit more than what is the situation today. And this, when I say, is a self-explanatory of the situation of the Italian debt, is because by doing so, the government actually will be able to take away some of the debt, which represent the VAT component of this debt, from the total financial debt of the country. You know, in Italy, the debt, the overall debt is quite stretched. There's not much room for any government to further increase the Italian debt. And if they are not able to increase the Italian debt, on the other hand, they need to delay the payment that are due to all the other sort of receivables.
Sure. Thanks very much.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Tony Dang with Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Tony from Barclays here. I have two questions, if I may. The first one is about the loan loss provision release. So I think this is the first time we saw a write-up. Is this something that you expect to also happen in the rest of the year? And then what is the underlying cost of risk in your normal book? And my second question is on the yield. On slide 6, you mentioned there's higher competition at quarter end. Could you give us a bit more color on this, please? And do you expect it to continue? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. In terms of the write-up, I think that we had announced the release of some provision also in the past, also at the 2016 result. We were reviewing the methodology being used that has been particularly conservative on the city that are in distress situation, taking a write-off of 50% of the face value, even though when a city enter into distress situation, what really happened is that they freeze for a period of about 3 years any payment, but then the city doesn't disappear. So the city will then release its normal activity, and if we don't accept any settlement of reduction, we will be able to collect 100% of the amount plus all the LPIs that are associated to the amount. So based on this assumption, which is a factual, I would say, what we have done, we have simply reconsidered the write-off, and we had applied the time value rather than the capital write-off. And this methodology will continue also in the future, but will not generate additional relief, because that is a one-off amount. In terms of cost of risk, the running rate, I will ask Margherita to help me on
adjusted
that.
Adjusted for the release.
So adjusted for the release is 65 basis point. So the run rate is 65. In terms of yield, clearly the yield, as often is always been mentioned, we have two kind of yield. There is a take-on yield, the portfolio that we buy, and there is the P&L yield, which is driven by various other components, which is the speed on where we collect the asset, the LPIs that happen on a month rather than in a different month. this may go up
price
and down a little bit.
Yield, right?
Yeah. When I look at the take on, which is probably the most interesting piece, when you compare the average quarter take on rate, which is the conservative gross yield, it was at the end of last quarter was 4.6%, while on the first quarter of 2017 is 5.1%. So when I look at the first quarter of 2017, we had plus 21% of growth in terms of asset compared to the same quarter of last year, and an increase of gross prudential yield from 4.6 to 5.1%. I don't know if this will be a new trend, which is probably driven by a future increase of interest rate, or is only related to this first quarter. Our budget for the first quarter was our expectation was lower than the actual price yield that we were able to print.
Okay, and the higher competition?
Well, higher competition, we see always the same competitor. We see area where we are growing where there is less competition, and we see also very crowded spaces of competition, like on the healthcare, which is the simplest market, less risky, where the yield are very very low. So potentially, you know, that is the what we see. Clearly, there is competition. I didn't see a trend. As I mentioned, the lack of turnover of last year on the last quarter, in particular in last week of December of last year, was not turnover that has been given to competitors. The transaction that we had in our pipeline were transactions that simply have not been executed. So my main concern are not the competitor, but is more the willingness of corporate to sell receivable without recourse and to pay for their improvement of the net financial position and outsourcing of the collection. The factoring for public administration vis-a-vis the total cost of the government on a yearly basis still represent an amount that is in the area of 10%. So 90% of total expenses by the public administration is not covered by factoring. So there is a potential for growth, I think, for us and from any other competitor.
Thank you. And do you have a guidance for the full year factoring turnover? Because 21% is pretty good in Q1.
For the full year, we had an expectation that is not on the 20% area, but is slightly below.
So let's say mid-teens, in the teens.
Yes.
Double digit.
Still double digit, yes, it is, but not 21%.
Yeah.
That is at least in our budget. Then, you know, consider that our duration of asset is below 12 months. So the asset that I have today, I will not have in my portfolio at year end, because I will have a total different mix from now to year end. So at the end of the day, it pretty much depends what we will see and what we will be able to buy and what is the willingness by a corporate to sell. When I look at the budget, based on the history, based on what is our expectation, we continue to see a double-digit growth. And from our budgeting perspective, so we can confirm that's the reason why, as I mentioned in the, at the beginning of the conference call, we still have an expectation of a return on average equity that is above 20%.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Garvey, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you very much, and talk to you at the next quarter result. Bye.